Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The New Statesman.
Hi, I'm Emily Tampkin, and you're listening to World Review from The New Statesman, a twice-weekly international news podcast. Every Thursday, we come together to unpack some of the most significant stories in world affairs. And every Monday, we interview a guest for their unique perspective and expertise. Today, I'm speaking to Raji Rajagopalan. Raji is the director of the Center for Security, Strategy, and Technology at the Observer Research Foundation in New Delhi. And today, we are going to be talking about how Russia's war in Ukraine has and has not changed India's positioning with respect to Russia and the United States. Raji, thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you. Happy to be here on this particular conversation.
So recently, Prime Minister Modi and Russian President Vladimir Putin were in Uzbekistan, and Modi made headlines by doing what many took to be public criticism of Putin for the war in Ukraine. There were some who took this as a sign that India was breaking with Russia. Others in India, I noticed, Kanwal Sibal, former Indian ambassador to Russia, said, no, this actually wasn't criticism. What did you make of that moment?
No, I think India has been losing patience on Russia for quite some time now. And this did not start with Ukraine, but I think this has been building up for quite some time. But I think certainly this is for the first time there is an Indian public, India publicly called out on Russia for its invasion of Ukraine, a fellow member our nation within the United Nations. So in a sense, this has been the first public criticism from an Indian leader, certainly from Prime Minister Modi. And this has not gone down well for the Russians, even though Putin came out and said, we are doing our level best. And it is Ukraine who's not coming to the negotiating table. But I think the fact that Prime Minister Modi publicly said that this is not an era of war, and you got to look at peace, negotiations, dialogue, and so on and so forth, was literally a slap on his on the face for Russia, in a sense. And that India-Russia relationship has been on downward spiral for quite some time. Like I said, did not start with Ukraine, but I think Ukraine and the current crisis at this point of time is reaching a pinnacle. But I think this goes back to even last 2 years, for instance, it's been going on over India's policy on the Indo-Pacific and so forth. But I think this has been building up. This has been going on for quite some time.
Right. So let's back up a little bit. You said India's policy on the Indo-Pacific. Is it fair to say that both that India does not want to lose Russia to China, but also that their differing positions on China are a source of some tension in the India-Russia relationship?
Absolutely. In fact, to Russia, China is the greatest friend, greatest strategic partner. Especially this has become a serious relationship ever since the Crimea invasion in 2014. And since then, that relationship has been gaining a lot more strength, becoming a lot more strategic. But I think the 2022 invasion, of course, I think Russia is in need of friends. It feels isolated. It feels that it does not have too many friends and therefore has reached out to China a lot more. Russia is dependent on China a lot more than ever in the past. So to Russia, China is the greatest friend. For India, China is the number one national security threat. In fact, the late CDS General Rawat made it as categorical to say that China is number one national security threat. So there is a direct conflict of interest between the two sides. There are increasing strategic incongruences between India and Russia. And I think this has come out publicly in the open when Foreign Minister Lavrov tried to come out criticizing India is being pushed by the US to take a relationship with the US and other Western countries and so on and so forth, or that India is adopting in Indo-Pacific strategy as because of pressure, certain amount of pressure from the Western countries and so on and so forth, to which in an uncharacteristic fashion, the Indian Ministry of External Affairs came out and made a statement to say that, and typically we don't do that. India does not respond to various statements that come out from various leaders around the world. But in this particular instance, because there were two instances, one in the Raisina dialogue in 2020, when Foreign Minister Lavrov made a statement to again criticizing India's Indo-Pacific approach, as well as India's growing relationship with the US, the Quad countries and so on. Similarly, again, in I think sometime at the Valdai Club, again, Lavrov made a statement criticizing India's policy. So MEA came out with a statement to say that India has relationship with various countries. Each of them are based on its own merits. These are based on primarily India's national security interests. National interest is what is driving each of this relationship, and that Russia should not criticize or comment on in the internal affairs of India. This was pretty strong a statement that coming from the MEA, given that we do not do that at all. Second, you also may recollect that the India-Russia annual summit was cancelled in 2020. Again, both sides came out saying that this was because of the COVID. But the fact is that India did hold several virtual summit level meetings with other leaders. So this was certainly a sense of the growing irritation between India and Russia. So India has been gaining, India-Russia relations have been having certain number of problems, primarily on the China front. And Russia fails to recognize the need for India to build up other relationship in a way that it can manage the China problem. So that's at the root of the problem between India and Russia. And therefore, my sense is that India's Russia relationship, India's Russia policy will change slightly in the medium term, maybe not in the immediate time frame.
What is it about this war? Because as you've said, these problems didn't start this past February. But what is it about this war that has exacerbated them such that Modi has now made a public criticism? Is it that it's gone so poorly that Russia is now more dependent on China? Is it that it's gone so poorly that India feels more comfortable maybe trying to take more of an upper hand in this relationship? Like, why is this what has brought all of this to the fore?
So a couple of different things. One is that I think just China, India is extremely uncomfortable being put in this tough position, having to now choose between the West or its new security partners and Russia on the other side, in a sense. All of India's new security partners, especially the Quad countries, France and other countries, have been at the forefront criticizing the Russian invasion of Ukraine, taking the most number of actions, sanctioning the Russian entities and so on and so forth. So India stands out as an odd man in that, even whether it's within the Quad group or among all of its new security partners, who are extremely important when it comes to managing China. So the new security partnerships, India cannot take them lightly. And India is treading a very thin line in terms of balancing its relationship with Russia on the one hand, and the new security partners. India is just not comfortable with the Russians putting India in the middle like this. So that's number one. Second, I think there are principles of territorial violation, territorial integrity of Ukraine, the sovereignty. All of these principles are extremely important when India looks at its own national security. Tomorrow, if China were to get on a full-fledged conflict with India, an invasion of India, India's northeast, for instance, maybe Arunachal Pradesh, which China claims as southern Tibet. If that were to happen, what is India standing? What are India's options? What is the Indian expectation of other countries? How should they behave? Should the Western countries come in support of India? Because I don't think India can expect Russia to be supporting in India if it's a choice between India and China. Russia is always going to go with China. That's something I'm willing to give it in writing. So India expecting Russia to play any major role in a potential conflict with China is not something that India can take it for granted. That's not going to happen. But at the same time, if India expects other countries to play an important role in a future conflict with China, for instance, and these principles are going to come into play, territorial integrity, sovereignty, and so on and so forth. So if that is the case, India has to be very careful, very pragmatic in kind of building up the relationships, nurturing some of those relationships. So in that sense, India is in a very tough spot at this point of time, has done its best to see if Russia can be brought back to the negotiations, dialogue and so on and so forth with Ukraine. But India does not enjoy any leverage, any role or influence to change the Russian behavior. That's number one. And many other, the other point is that many in the Indian establishment community, generally strategic community, believe that we don't want the Russians and the Chinese coming together. And that is something that we can do. Again, India does not have that leverage. India does not have any power over Russia to create a wedge between Russia and China. That's not something that India is going to be able to do that. So India has to accept its limitations and look at it in a very pragmatic fashion and see what is it that, what is the kind of foreign policy outlook that we need to have? What is the kind of, what are the national security threats, challenges that are coming about? If China is number one problem, who are those partners, security partners, strategic partners who are going to be on the Indian side? If Russia is not the, it's not the player that's going to be on India's side, I think India needs to be very clear in sending a much clearer, louder message, even on the Ukraine issue, the Russian invasion of Ukraine.
There are still some, and I know because I spoke to them this past week, still some in Delhi and the sort of foreign policy establishment that you just referenced, who still say, well, you have to understand, if you look both at our history and just at current events, for us, Russia has been a more reliable security partner than the United States. I know you don't take that view. So I was hoping you could speak a bit about why, counter the prevailing wisdom, you don't feel that Russia has been the more reliable security partner to India.
Maybe Russia was somewhat of a reliable friend in the past. So it is a past tense. It's no more looking at Russia as a credible friend at this stage or going forward. Russia has walked out of India. Look at the last few instances, for instance, the Doklam crisis that happened between India and China at the tri-junction between India, Bhutan and China. Russia took a neutral stand, did not side with India. Second, the Galwan crisis of 2020. Again, Russia has taken a neutral stand, has not supported India. So today, given the kind of overall conditions that Russia is boxed in, it feels that it needs a strong voice on its side, and that strong voice comes from China, not from India. So Russia needs China and not so much the other way around. And Russia will do anything to do the China appeasement, even if it is coming at the cost of its India relationship. Third, one of the other instances is China took India to the United Nations Security Council on the Jammu and Kashmir issue. Who are those countries who stood with India? It is the United States and France, not Russia. Again, becoming a lot more clearer that Russia is not a reliable country. It was a strategic partner in the past, but it's no more the case. Again, even I think there is a certain amount of romanticization of its relationship with Russia, even in the past, because I think there have been several times when Russia was not particularly happy with what India was doing, whether it is 1974 peaceful nuclear explosion or the 1971 war. I think the Soviets tried to stop India even at that point of time. So it's not like there is a continuous historical past that was always in favor of India. But the fact is that people have got this imagination. I wrote this article try and explain the Indian position. There is a certain amount of strategic sympathy for, originally started as the Soviet sympathy for the Soviets, and now that continues as a strategic sympathy for Russia. This, of course, comes in the backdrop of India gaining independence under British rule for 200 years. And therefore, there's a lot of anti-colonialism sentiments within the country, anti-imperialist sentiments and so on and so forth, with the newly elected leadership under Prime Minister Nehru, which, as the Cold War picked up, this went on to become anti-US or anti-West in a sentiments in a sense, which also translated to pro-Soviet sympathies, pro-Soviet sentiments in a sense. And that has continued even now, not just within the strategy community, including the former diplomats or even the current serving a foreign ministry establishment and so on and so forth, where you have the sentiments that there is a historical reason. They find historical logic to why Russia is doing what it is doing. And it's shocking to the extent they are defending Russia, even more than the Russians are doing in a sense to defend their own actions. So that's one reality. But at the same time, I have spoken to some of the other foreign MEA folks at the Ministry of External Affairs, again, who feel that this is a relationship that is reaching its expiry date sooner than later. Mm. And if you, for instance, look at the kind of defense trade that's going to happen, coming decade, I think Indian dependence on the Russian arms and weapons platforms is significantly coming down. And I think that's because there is a growing recognition that there are material costs to what Russia is engaging with China, in a sense. The material cost being, for instance, they are supplying today China with much more advanced weapon platforms than what they have done with India, for instance, in the past. Whether it is the sale of advanced submarines or advanced fighter jets like the Su-35, all of this have important national security consequences for India. And therefore, I think there is a slow, a grudging recognition that this is a relationship that is going to run its course now. It is going to run into problems. But certainly at this point, I do not see India changing its policy rapidly, mainly because India does not want to be seen as coming under Western pressure and changing its Russia policy. So certainly you can expect the India's Russia policy to change maybe in the medium term, in a few years' time, because like I said, the China factor is the main impediment that is going to be destroying or creating major problems in this particular relationship between India and Russia.
Wherever you are in the world,
if you're interested in global affairs,
you can subscribe to The New Statesman in digital, in print, or both from as little as £1 a week. That's 12 weeks for just £12.
That's €1 a week in Europe and just $2 a week in America.
Just go to www.newstatesman.com/podcast offer.
From The New Statesman comes a new podcast, Audio Long Reads, the best of our reported features and essays, read aloud. Featuring writing from our authors, including the historian Colin Kidd on Watergate's renewed relevance in a post-Trump era.
Today's obsessions about a deep state took their rise in the 70s amid this climate of anxiety.
Jeff Dyer's reflections on how to grow old in America.
He was propped up in bed, proudly sporting a badge. Private medicine makes me sick.
Maria Vilcek tells the story of how the hard men of Belarusian football took on Alexander Lukashenko.
Hundreds of ultras were roughed up and held in custody. One was later found dead in suspicious circumstances.
Ease into the weekend with our Audio Long Reads, published every Saturday morning. Just search Audio Long Reads from The New Statesman, wherever you get your podcasts.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
To what extent do you think India's choices right now are limited, not just by its longstanding relationship to Russia, not just by the China factor, but by its defense relationship with Russia and the fact that some 70% of its military equipment is still of Russian origin?
Absolutely. The defense relationship, a defense trade that India has had with Russia for several decades is an important factor for it to continue its current position on the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Given that 70-80% of the Indian defense inventory is Soviet or Russian in terms of their origin is significant, especially given that India is still in active conflict with China. So India does not want to take the chance of taking a stand against China, Russia at this point of time. And what if Russia were to hold back on repairs or maintenance of certain weapons platforms or the spare parts and so on and so forth. So India is particularly concerned that there could be repercussions, because if India took a stand against Russia or called out Russia by name in any of the UNSC resolutions and so on and so forth, that there could be a backlash from Russia. But the fact is that, again, I don't necessarily agree with that point, because Russia does not have far too many friends at this point of time. I don't think they can afford to lose India as a friend, quote unquote. So it has its own, Russia has its own interest in maintaining that relationship, even if India Right. were to take a stand against Russia or call out Russia by name in the multilateral platforms. But I don't see India doing that immediately, because primarily because India does not want to be seen as coming under the Western pressure. Second aspect, I think there's even a domestic political context to why India is maintaining the current position on Russia. Whether it is the centrist party, leftist party, right, left, right, center, any of the political parties you look at it, there is certain amount of that same strategic sympathy that I talked about that is going to rest. And if India were to, if Prime Minister Modi were to take anti-Russia stand openly in a UN Security Council forum and places like that, there are going to be questions raised on Modi to asking whether India has forgotten about its long-standing old strategic friend, partners, and so on and so forth. And India certainly, Prime Minister Modi, I don't think the government is ready to answer those questions at this point of time. And therefore, again, one more reason as to why India is not taking that stand. Even among the larger public, for instance, you don't see much conversation. A few think tankers like us, we keep writing and talking about these issues. But it is this Ukraine is not an issue. The Russian invasion of Ukraine is still not an issue among the larger public. How many newspaper op-eds do you see? How many TV commentaries or conversations happen on this issue particularly? There have been humanitarian disaster breaking out there, women and children being the worst affected. But at the same time, just imagine if this conflict was the U.S. doing, the whole country would have gone up in arms saying that this is a new imperialist force. So the strategic sympathy for the Soviets / Russia still continues, not just among the political class, but also across the country among the larger public. So that's another important reason. The domestic political context, as larger public opinion in a sense, is not particularly in favor of taking a strong stand on Russia. Most people do not recognize the nuances of these relationships, whether it is India's growing closer partnership with the US and the Quad countries, what is it really driving this relationship? And most of the public opinion, if we were to take a look at it, I don't think they are particularly concerned about these things. And they don't certainly are not looking at these issues from a nuanced perspective. So again, explaining as to why India is resistant to taking a stronger stand in multilateral platforms like the UN Security Council.
So I have just two last questions for you. The first is, on the one hand, we're seeing India maybe begin to inch away from Russia in terms of rhetoric, in terms of positioning and posturing. But on the other hand, India is also buying, I think, something like 10% more of its crude oil now comes from Russia than it did at the start of the year. How do you square these two or reconcile these two things?
Yeah, right from the beginning and right from the first UN Security Council vote that happened, India has been issuing those explaining the explanation of the votes. And each of those subsequent ones, the explanations from the Indian embassy, Indian mission in New York, have become a lot more critical. So we are becoming critical of the Russian action. We are calling for them to stop the violence against Ukraine and so on and so forth. But at the same time, I think it is going to be, and I think we are beginning to lose patience. Like I said, Prime Minister's statement when he was talking to President Putin is one indicator that we are losing patience with them. The fact that Dr. Jaishankar, the India's External Affairs Minister, met with the Ukrainian Prime Minister in New York is another sign that things are changing, and it is going to change sooner than later. But of course, we are buying extra oil from Russia. And I think, again, Prime Minister Modi, as well as Dr. Jaishankar, External Affairs Minister, have come out saying that this issue should not be politicized, and that this issue is simply to be looked at. We are getting access to clean, cheaper sources of oil, cheap source of oil, and that should not be seen in any other way, and so on and so forth. But again, something that I do not entirely agree with, because at the end of the day, you are indirectly funding the Russian invasion of Ukraine by supporting the Russian establishment. So that is my personal take. But the fact is that this is something that, sure, I think access to energy sources is important, and gaining cheaper sources of oil is extremely important for India, which is an energy-hungry country in a sense. There is some merit, but at the same time, how that action is contributing to the Russian coffin that is invading Ukraine, I think that is also some, from a moral perspective, I think that's something which is important from my perspective.
Finally, do you think it's fair to say that if indeed India does move away from Russia, that process will have been sped up by Russia's decision to invade Ukraine?
I think so, because today Russia is not a strategic partner. It is a liability. There are a couple of things. One is India's, if you look at India's overall foreign policy goal, one is to maintain good relations with everybody. So in a sense, including with Russia, including with China, in some sort of a normalization of ties with China, these are things that India is looking forward to maintaining in its foreign policy. But I think given that the China problem has become very significant over the last few years, last 2 years in particular, I think there have been several different changes that have come about. India's China policy has certainly undergone big changes. And I think despite the fact that the Ministry of External Affairs, as well as the military level talks have happened repeatedly between India and China, and that there is no progress on that front, I think we are heading in a very different direction when the, as far as the India-China trajectory is concerned. Which means that India needs its new partnerships. Those partnerships are going to be a lot more critical. India's relationship with the US, India's relationship with the Quad countries, India's relationship with other minilaterals are becoming extremely important in the context of dealing with the China problem. Because China problem is not going to go away. China is an insecure country that is in a hurry to be a great power in the immediate future. So that's going to push China to undertake a lot more aggressive actions around its neighborhood and beyond, in a sense. So China factor is going to determine how the nature of India-Russia relationship. And on the China front, there is no progress between India and China, which means that India-Russia relationship are going to, that particular relationship is going to run its course. And certainly the Ukraine crisis has sped up that process in a sense, making some sort of a break in that relationship sooner than later.
Rajiv Rajagopalan of the Observer Research Foundation, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Thank you.
This has been the World Review from the New Statesman. You can read all our international coverage on newstatesman.com/international. If you have enjoyed this episode, please tell a friend or even an enemy and rate us and leave us a nice review. Our producer has been Adrian Bradley. The team will be back on Thursday. And I am Emily Tamkin. Thanks for listening. And until next time.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.